For most of us, the VHS tape is just another archaic technology. Some of you might remember programming your VCR to tape that can't-miss episode of Three's Company while you were on vacation, or that gentle reminder from your local video store to be kind and rewind. But for Nick Prewer, the VHS tape is both fascination and a career. Nick and his best friend Joe Pickett created the Found Footage Festival in 2004. It's an event that showcases some of the tens of thousands of tapes that they've collected from garage sales and thrift stores. The festival comes to Raleigh next week, but first Nick Prewer joins me on the program for a preview. Hello, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us about this project of yours. First of all, how you got going collecting old VHS tapes.
I think like a lot of the best ideas, it was born out of boredom. And grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and my childhood friend Joe and I would look for things to entertain ourselves. And we happened to, in the early 90s, started finding VHS tapes, weird ones, at thrift stores like Salvation Army's, Goodwill's. And we would screen them for friends, and that project just never stopped.
Some of the ones, I mean, we think about VHS and source. There's the stuff we did ourselves, both the birthday parties and then those shows we couldn't miss. But I think you're focusing a lot on what you show tends to be more intentional videos. I hesitate to call them professional, but you know, you had something in mind when you made it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the videos we were finding and the ones that really fascinated us were ones that were earnestly trying to do something and maybe not succeeding in the way they thought they were. So these were a lot of special interest tapes, things like exercise videos and home movies and training videos and promotional tapes, things that basically weren't meant to be seen in public. So for us, part of the fun is that's, you know, we're showing them in public.
Now, one of them, for instance, let's listen to this. This is just a little some tips on manners. Let's listen.
Manners. What are they? Why are they? How are they?
I know a lot about etiquette. I learned it from a friend of mine.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Mrs. Levering. I was just talking about you. She's really cool.
Always sit opposite your guest to allow good eye contact. Side-by-side dining at a business lunch is disastrous. There is a grown-up way to eat watermelon. Use a knife and fork. If you get seeds in your mouth, and you will, drop them into your tightly cupped hand, then put them on your plate.
Just one more thing. Your elbow, Tim. Your elbow.
What a perfect dinner. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, it's one I'll never forget. Good company, good food, and oh yes, some good rules.
Oh yeah, good rules at the elbows in.
Some good rules. Yeah.
Go ahead, Nick. Tell us more about that one. Was that
well,
was the whole...
a whole series of manner videos. This is a whole genre we found at thrift stores, you know, and so there's everything from, you know, manners for children to table manners at a date to how to have a business, how to eat a watermelon at a business meeting. I want to know what restaurant they're going to that's serving watermelon.
With a knife and a fork.
Exactly.
That'd be pretty rough. But also, apparently, when you were scanning like local, especially maybe cable television shows, right, and some of those local community access shows that featured all kinds of great stuff, right?
Well, we love public access TV, and you know they really meant well with it. It was, you know, the government mandated that you know every city should have a public access station where anybody could go on and express their political point of views without commercial or any kind of censorship. And so that was sort of the utopian vision of it, and it ended up being a magnet for weirdos. And we love the fact that it's unfiltered and not professional. So yeah, we've scoured and made contacts with some of these stations and gathered a lot of public access material.
I don't know what's weird about this. These guys ripped off the idea about exploring Satanism, you know, from us. Let's listen.
We're discussing Satanism and the occult this morning and some of the dangers that are lurking about. And with me in the studio is the Dark Lord Blood, who is a seventh generation satanic worshiper.
I mean, are all your friends Satanists?
No. Or, I don't have any friends, but my acquaintances are, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This.
Vicky, let me ask you about your children.
You know, your growling doesn't frighten me at all.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I wasn't attempting to.
We have to do another show on this. Thank you for being here. I'm Nola Roper, and this is the best talk in town.
Sure is.
You can't look away.
No. Well, that... How, You literally have tens of thousands of these things you've been collecting for decades, right? Or over a decade.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Since 1991, collections just keeps growing.
How many of these things? Because it is riveting in a way. I mean, do you sit down? Do you still watch them?
Yeah. I mean, like yesterday, me and Joe were watching a cash register instructional video for 2 hours. And there was nothing redeeming on this video. And, you know, we're 41, and at some point you're kind of like, well, I'm not going to get that 2 hours back.
No.
But, you know, when you do find something great, like that cable show with Dark Lord Blood on it, mm-hmm. I mean, then you forget all the cash register instructional videos, and you're like, we have to show this to people.
Yeah, because to be that earnest and say, now, next time, I'd like you to meet Dark Lord Blood, who's here. It's wonderful stuff. Do you, and what about audiences? I mean, the idea of coming to watch this, apparently they get it. They understand what they're in for, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think at the beginning, you know, we started the show in 2004 when YouTube didn't exist yet. So people were like, so why would I want to come and watch, you know, like actively bad exercise videos? Like, I don't get why I would want to watch that. Now people have kind of seen maybe material like this or, you know, cringe material that it's kind of become a genre on the internet. But so at the time, we kind of had to really explain the show. And once people come, they get it. Yeah, they definitely get it. It's a celebration of these sort of forgotten, maybe regrettable moments that were captured on VHS.
Well, it also, there's a meta message with some of these. I mean, you start to think about who produced them and the backstory. I'm going to play one here. This is a little, this is an instructional video on ventriloquism. This is somebody who's addressing an audience, got a live audience, and teaching them how to do ventriloquism. So let's listen.
You're a dog. You're hungry. How would you do that? Or let me hear it. Okay. I was creating an Italian character when the melodic type voice quality was born for me. That's good. That's good. That's good. My mama makes a pizza.
That's flawless there, right? Clip from the collection of videos about ventriloquism, the Found Footage Festival. I'm speaking with co-founder Nick Pruer. By the way, Found Footage Festival comes to Kings in Raleigh next Thursday, December 14th. What were you going to say?
Well, just that it looks like they're in a church basement during this whole instructional thing, and you're wondering how they got there, who produced it, and whether they became successful ventriloquists.
Right, and also kind of because you found them, right? You found it was not just one; it was a series of videos, was it not?
Yeah, well, I mean, we love the stories and how you find these, and yeah, talking about the meta of it. I was in Atlantic City at a Goodwill, and on the top shelf of their VHS section were seven different ventriloquism how-to videos. And like you just, you know, it raises the question, was this somebody who decided, you know, they wanted to become an Atlantic City ventriloquist and then one day gave up the dream? Or maybe they learned everything they needed to know and now they're performing at, you know, the Tropicana. I don't know. I hope for the latter, but who knows?
I want to play one more. We're going to take a break. I'm going to bring you back. But I do want to play this one because this is an earworm that you will not lose. And it's all our fault. This is a clip from the Found Footage Festival. Here we go. It kind of goes on like that. Found Footage Festival. What's going on there?
It doesn't stop. That is a fabric paint called Tulip Paints, and they put out an instructional video on how to use their paints, and they decided to make a music video that is set in day glow colors and against a green screen. And there's just the song's called Totally Tulip. And there's really only about five lyrics. The rest they're just kind of making up as they go along, I think. But, I just want to apologize to your listeners because that's not going anywhere. That song will be in their heads all day.
You're going to be singing that for the next, all the way through Christmas. It may drive a few Christmas carols out of your mind, but only for only momentarily.
Yeah, Nick, I guess so.
Hang around with me. Nick Pruer is the co-founder of the Found Footage Festival that is coming to Kings in Raleigh next Thursday, December 14th. We've got some more clips and a little more conversation coming up after this break. Stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, talking to Nick Pruer, the co-founder of the Found Footage Festival that takes the stage at King's in Raleigh next Thursday, December 14th. Nick, you and Joe, your partner in crime there, have also had some fun with daytime TV on your own. You've found out just how easy it is to get on, right?
Well, yeah, it really surprised us when we were first starting touring with the festival. We would go do these morning shows, you know, Wake Up Sacramento or whatever, and they would always get the name of the show wrong or they didn't understand what we did, and a lot of them just, we got the feeling they weren't paying attention. So, you know, we hated doing those morning shows, and it was always just the weirdest green room, you know. It was like, there was us, there was, you know, showing off our videos, and then there'd be, like, somebody teaching you how to tie scarves festively, and then they'd be reporting on a train derailment. And it was like, wait a minute, what is this program? Yeah. So, yeah, we, as an experiment, like, 7 years ago with our friend Mark, we thought, I wonder if, like, we sent out, made up a fake person, a fake character that was we thought would be obviously fictional, if the same person could get booked on these ridiculous morning shows. And it worked. Like, our friend Mark got on as a yo-yo expert we had pitched, promoting environmentalism through yo-yoing to children. And, you know, it just, if you stop and think about it for 1 second, it makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But he got on 7 morning shows, and Mark has no idea how to yo-yo. Mark can't even make it come up after it's gone down. That's his level of skill. And it was just preposterous. So, you know, every couple of years we check in and come up with a new fake character just to see if it will work. And we are, you know, a couple of years ago I got on as a celebrity chef promoting how to spruce up their Thanksgiving leftover with just patently stupid recipes, like something called turbo gravy, which is just putting all your leftovers in a blender. And
we have the clip for that. Let's listen to how that
went. Okay.
Here we go.
Sure.
What I'm going to do is just go like this.
Okay.
And you can feel the resistance. You'll feel it in your bicep.
You
and
can.
This back, whatever the back muscle is, you'll feel all that after about 5-6 reps.
And I'm doing double duty here. I'm using just a basic towel holder that you would have in your
you
bathroom.
You can find it in anything. Yeah. Like, and it doesn't take all this fancy stuff to be able to all this.
Yeah.
But do you feel this already?
Oh, yeah. This is just basic turbo gravy that you would have in your house.
There you go.
Especially after.
And I can do double duty with this one.
There you go. Yeah. Go up high.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
Oh, sorry.
Yikes.
Sorry.
It's all right. We got it.
There's the turbo gravy strongman, Nick Pruer, who just put everything together in a blender, gave it to a morning talk show host, and he drank it.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually, you know, we did the turbo gravy was like a chef segment, and then earlier this year, last year, we came back as a strongman duo called Chop and Steel. We pitched ourselves as strongman, and you can't see me, I'm on the radio, but I think maybe doughy is maybe the right word, maybe that's the charitable way. So not a strongman, and, you know, we reincorporated some of Chef Keith's turbo gravy as lifting it for resistance, and of course, it didn't go well.
In fact, you've been sued, right?
Yeah. One of the news stations in Wisconsin didn't find it that funny, and their parent company, this big company in Atlanta, decided to sue us. Basically for being embarrassed and not doing their homework. So they're trying to sue us, and it's very silly, and it would be very funny if it wasn't costing us a lot of money to defend ourselves.
Well, Nick, you know, morning TV talk shows do have to protect their integrity.
Yeah. I would think that some of this money they're spending this law firm could be used for maybe some training on how to do a Google search about, you know, being a strong man.
Nick, great to talk with you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. We always look forward to coming to Raleigh.
Nick Pruer is the co-founder of the Found Footage Festival that will be on the stage in Raleigh on December 14th.